and welcome to Quarter Time Podcast. I'm Lucy G.
And I'm Lucy P.
And we're here to bring you all the netball goodness you never knew you needed. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a special edition of Quarter Time Podcast. Now, most of you will likely remember that at the end of last season, we announced that Lucy P and I were taking a break from our regular scheduled programming, but we'd still be creating some awesome content every now and again throughout the season. Well, the first of this content is a brand new netball photography project that I've launched with a couple of friends of mine, Chloe Merrill and Ben Lumley, and it's called Our Stories. So if you haven't already, do check it out and give us a follow. It's all about profiling the amazing people and the incredible stories within our sport, and there truly have been some phenomenal people that we featured already. You can find all the social media links and everything you need to follow us in the show notes. Secondly, in terms of content, as well as having the pleasure of hosting Saracens Mavericks home games this season, I'm delighted to share that today's episode is the first of a three-part mini-series with Saracens Mavericks for the 2024 Netball Super League season. The first of these three episodes is about the biggest event in the Mavericks calendar, the headliner. So for anyone who's been living under a rock for the last few weeks, the headliner is the highly anticipated fixture between Mavericks and Thunder at none other than the legendary Wembley Arena. So to dig into this with me, I'm joined by some pretty incredible women. First up is Commonwealth Games gold medal winner and Saracens Mavericks captain, Jodie Gibson. Welcome back to the pod, Jodie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. How are you?
Very good. It's a pleasure to have you back. I'm also joined by none other than head coach of Saracens Mavericks and longtime friend of the pod, Camilla Buchanan. Hey, Cam.
Hey, Lucy.
And we are soon to be joined as well by everyone's favourite netball pundit and all-round netball legend, Tamsin Greenway, who's going to be jumping on very soon. So before we get stuck into the headliner specifically, we've just had round six last weekend, which is about a third of the way through the season now, if you can believe that. Camilla, you've got three wins, two losses and one draw on the scoreboard. How's the season going for you so far?
Yeah, so, I mean, we as a group talked to a couple of weeks ago about a bit of a season reset. For us, we definitely, you know, started the season, that season opener against Dragons. We wanted that win under our belt. We didn't get it. And then we obviously had a fixture against Storm that we were a little disappointed with. However, we had a good team meeting a few weeks ago and said, right, this is our chance to reset quite early in the season, which I think that we've done really well. You know, we rebounded back and had a good performance in Bath and then again in Siren. So, yeah, it was probably not the start that we wanted, but we've certainly turned a rock at this early stage and feel like we're on a upwards trajectory.
Yeah, for sure. And Jodie, from your perspective as well, you've obviously got Stars tomorrow, which is going to be a cracking game, third v fifth in the table as it currently stands. From your perspective, do you feel like Mavs are kind of where they need to be at this point in the season?
Yeah, I think so. And I think, yeah, you can say that we possibly not have achieved what people would have thought or what we may have hoped for with getting a first run on the board in round one. But I think you've learned so much about the team, about yourself, when you get those losses, you get those draws and you have those challenging games. And I think actually where we're at now and how we're training and how we're coming together as a team is been amazing. And for me, a lot of those learnings are really valuable for how our season will go and how the training week and the last few weeks have been going. It's been really positive. So all about the learnings that have been taking place, and I'm really excited about where we're at and where this team can go to.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, it's not been plain sailing. You lost Lisa Mather quite close to the start of the season. Inmarie Venter's only just back to full fitness. So how well do you feel the team has kind of coped with those ups and downs that we've sort of mentioned already?
Yeah, we've had such a great culture at Saracens Mavericks. And with anything, we had, even without Inmarie and Lisa Mather not being here, we have new players coming in. And as much as we talk about the calibre of player that's come into the Saracens Mavericks franchise, it's fantastic. But you also have to give that time to build combinations. And also acknowledge the fact that there's some disruption in our franchise because of the England girls being out. And it's amazing having those international players, but it does mean that we lose that time together as a team. And then obviously losing Lisa, who is just so amazing, but is doing so well with her new team in ANZ. And to have Inmarie, who if I don't need to say too much about Anna Marie, people know her about her in netball, but if you don't, she's so instrumental in the South African international team and also for Services Mavericks. So for us to not have her at the start of the season and to be having Emma Thacker, who's a brilliant player, but a player who's a natural goal shooter in that position, you have to kind of give us that grace and allow us that space to learn. But as I said, the learnings that we've taken from the first few rounds, I really hope they're going to put us in a good place moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly cannot wait for this match against Stars. I think it could be the game of the round. It's a shame it's not streams, but that's by the by. But of course, this episode is all about the headliner against Manchester Thunder, who interestingly suffered a 12-goal defeat to Lightning in the previous round. They have Bath this weekend, which I imagine will be a win for them before they then face you guys in round 8. So, Camilla, I think some people may have been expecting Thunder to have like another undefeated season because they started off so strong. But as we know, all teams are fallible in one way, shape or form. But they do often strike fear into the hearts of opponents sometimes when you can see how clinical and structured they can be. How do you go about building that kind of champion mindset so that when you come up against a really strong, clinical, fast side like a Thunder can be, it's more like business as usual rather than being overwhelmed by the occasion?
Yeah, well, to your point, and you know, most every team being infallible, I think that, you know, Thunder didn't need to beat Loughborough at that point. Like they would have learned a lot of things. You know, Karen Gregg talks about the fact that Loughborough had a real game plan against them, and it's very early on in the season. Thunder won't be fazed by that. They'll be disappointed, but you know, they've also got a lot of, you know, they're bringing a new style to their team, which has obviously worked for them in these early rounds. But I don't think that at this point that really matters. And for us, yeah, absolutely. Like the pressure at the moment sits with Thunder in terms of, you know, where they're sitting in the table and the, I guess, the reputation that comes with them. So, you know, we're going into this game, as you said, like business as usual. Like, we have a crack at every game. We've got a game plan, and that's what we're going out to do. You know, we want to put on a good show. Of course, it's, you know, it's Wembley, it's a big arena game, but at this stage of the season, we're ready to give this a crack and see where we're at for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's so highly anticipated. I'm so unbelievably excited for it. And I have to just welcome Tamsin, who's just joined us as well. Thank you so much. I know you are such a busy lady. How are you doing?
Hi. Sorry, guys. Yes, I'm all good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem at all. So I don't know if you just caught what Cam was saying at the end there about Thunder, talking about their loss to Lightning. It's by 12 goals, more than people were expecting. What do you think that Mavericks can learn from Thunder's loss to Lightning in round 6, Tamsin?
I think there's so much to learn from all the games each week when in terms of how different styles match up against each other. And I think that's really, really important. So when you look at certain games, you have to understand why people lost them, but more importantly, why they won them. So you start to look at, you know, where are people's weaknesses? Where do they get exposed? Who matches up well against each other? So if you take the Stars Dragons game, I think there were some eyebrows raised about that one as well. You know, Dragons got that amazing win over. But when you actually look at where the turnovers came from, they were quite interesting. So I think you have to start working out, like, how are teams winning ball? How are they breaking them down? What does that look like? And I think that was the same with the Thunder Loughborough game. Sometimes different styles match up against better people. And that doesn't always translate when they play each other again the second time, because they are constantly learning and evolving. And I think that's the difference you'll find with the top teams. They'll all have their own structure and way of playing, but they'll tweak it for each game that they play. And sometimes they get that right and sometimes they don't. And clearly Thunder didn't get it right against Loughborough. Loughborough played very well. And it'll be something they want to revisit. And the key for them is that they've, especially those two teams, they've got so much strength across their squads. So they can actually start with different types of circles, both ends, different kinds of midcourt. And I think there'll be massive lessons learned for them, but also lots that we can take away with and go, ah, okay, this is how you get them. This is how you do it. This is what worked and this is what didn't.
Yeah, 100%. And I think if the last round of the league proved anything, it's that nothing's really a given. You know, either Thunder or Lightning was going to win. Either one very much could have won. But to have that margin, I think, was unexpected. For Dragons to beat Stars, I think, was slightly unexpected. I think they were going in as the underdog. So nothing is a given at all. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the headliner is taking place at the iconic Wembley Arena. And I don't think we can really understate just how significant a move this is within the Netball Super League. And I do believe, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's the first time any Super League franchise has ever played a game at Wembley Arena. So it really is a huge step forward for the sport. And I imagine a part of the decision-making process around this is linked to the professionalisation of the Super League. So Tamsin, sticking with you, we know currently that no one knows whether they'll be playing in the Super League next season. A decision on that is due in the next month or two. But assuming that Mavericks are successful, talk to us about some of the realities of professionalisation for clubs that we can sort of expect. Because, you know, events like Wembley, they're not cheap for clubs. You know, how do we move forward sustainably into professionalisation?
Well, that is a very good question. Look, the finances are a huge piece of this puzzle, aren't they? Because this is not just about, look, we all want to be playing in front of sellout crowds at huge venues, live on TV every week with players and coaches and umpires and all the officials getting paid properly. That's what we want. That's what professionalisation looks like to me. But there are huge steps to get there. And I think what we've done at Sarries this year by committing to going to Wembley is a massive step forward to get into that venue and to put that event on. But yeah, this is going to not just be an approach of just throwing money at the situation either. This is cultural and holistic changes. This is tapping into a market of 3 million people playing our sport that don't convert into fans. You know, this is bigger than just us putting on a product that's going to work. And this is about performance, because like you sort of say it's not a given about some games. There's a lot of games in this league that it is at the moment. And that is the reality. We have two or three blowout games in each round. We've had that so far. And that doesn't mean that on any given day teams can't, but I think you've got a very clear top group, a middle group and a bottom group at the moment. Mm. So there's a massive three-pronged approach for me. The finances will be the finances. I think the league and England Netball and the commitment from the clubs that have gone to tender want to shift the focus. Where we get those finances from and how that is long-term is going to be interesting and doable, hugely doable. The big piece of this puzzle is converting the fans, and that can't just be on a blanket market approach, which we've done before. We have to think creatively about doing that. And the third part of the puzzle for me, which I'm really passionate about, and I know I get shot down every time I mention it, but we do have to look at what the product looks like, because you can throw as much money as you like at it. You can get as many fans in the building, but they won't continue to watch and support if we're putting on games that blow out by 30 goals. So, you know, the beauty of sport is the entertainment, is the unknown, is the last gasp winners, is the excitement, or the actual tearing apart of a team that's done properly because, you know, it's a tactical thing, not a level thing. And I think we do need to fix that. So they're probably the key three things for me. And I know they're being worked on really hard, and I'm loving what Claire Nelson and her team are doing behind the scenes. And I truly believe it's the right step forward, but there will have to be some instrumental changes across the board, and that performance piece will be a part of it.
Yeah, 100%. And this tapping into the grassroots and the people who play the game but don't watch the game is like the biggest head-scratching question that our sport has had for I don't know how many years. But we know as well, prior to the Thunder game, there's going to be the Support Act, where two local clubs will be playing on the show court, as well as the Shoot for Pink celebrity netball match in aid of the Pink Ribbon Foundation, all about raising money and awareness of breast cancer. And Tamsin, you're even coming out of retirement for this. So if that's not a good enough reason to get your ticket, don't know what
I mean. Coming out of retirement again, T.
Oh, I know.
Come on.
It's painful. You know what? I got the opportunity. They were like, would you be keen? And I was like, playing at Wembley. They're like, yeah. I was like, yes, I'm in. Being at Wembley. I mean, I haven't still got it, but I'm really going to try.
Oh. I mean, Lucy, don't listen to her. She joined in last night and she's still got it. She can still swing a ball.
Of course she can. Of course she can. I expect nothing less now. But we've got the likes of you. We've also got Sacha Corbin. We've got other celebrities such as Mel Schilling, Jessen Piazzi, and so many more. But as well as this being, you know, a really great laugh, like I remember the 2019 charity match at the World Cup. It was wicked. It was so much fun. I love stuff like this because for me, it demonstrates how netball can touch so many lives and really be a force for good in kind of wider society. And I think with an event like this, with so many different facets to it, you've got this beautiful blend of grassroots netball, like really tapping into those people who play but don't currently watch, elite netball, social impact, pushing for professionalisation with the arena itself, fan engagement, so much more. It's this lovely kind of netball ecosystem, for lack of a better way, where everyone is kind of connected in some capacity. So Camilla, talk to me a little bit about this netball ecosystem and the ambitions of Mavericks to become an organization that has even greater social and cultural significance than they already have.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. And one thing that we're really passionate about is having a really fan focused experience. And, you know, I was talking to someone earlier today about, when my dad was still around, and him and my brother used to go down to White Hart Lane, and, you know, they'd go on the train, they'd get down there early, they'd buy a burger from the burger van, they'd buy a pint. And, you know, it was like a whole event. And I think that, you know, that kind of special day is something that, you know, we've seen in football for generations, and it's something that even like every diehard fan loves the whole experience of it, and they talk about it for the rest of their lives. Like, it's just something that's embedded, you know. Oh, my granddad took me to my first ever game. Like, that's what we need to create, and that's what we're trying to create here, in terms of, you know, the match day being a whole experience, not just the one game. As you mentioned, you've got the three tiers tapping into everything. You've got the entertainment factor, you've got the fan experience. We want to create those memories, not just for the netball supporter, but for, you know, for the granddad that might not love netball, but he loves spending time with his granddaughter. Do you know what I mean? So it's a whole experience that we want to create for people that isn't just about netball performance. It's about integrating that into lifestyle, that you know, creating memories. It sounds cheesy as hell, but, you know, to create those memories that last a lifetime, like, that is, netball can do that. Like, it, you know, we've been doing it, but just not on this scale. And that's exactly what we're going to do at Wembley to kickstart that.
I think it's really smart, actually, because with this other project that I've been doing, kind of going around talking to people involved in grassroots netball, the one key thing that comes out over and over and over again is friendships and relationships and that social aspect. So where you mentioned, like, you know, the granddad who doesn't necessarily like netball but loves spending time with his grandkids, like, that is absolutely what it's all about. And for this game in particular, obviously has an extra special connection for you because you're very much a local gal. We found out we pretty much grew up on like the same street earlier on when we were I imagine that this does have like an extra layer of meaning for you. So tell me a little bit about the significance for you to take into court as head coach on your home turf in the biggest, most iconic arena that a Super League franchise has ever played in.
Like, it's hard to put into words, actually, because, you know, we've been trying to do the arena thing, and, you know, you've got the Copper Box, you've got Manchester Arena, all fantastic arenas. I'm not sure anything compares to Wembley. You know, you've had every superstar perform at Wembley. You've had, you know, all the great sporting events happening at Wembley. So I can see it literally right now. If I was to flip my screen around, I can see the arch. It's monumental. And to be the first team to take a Super, it doesn't really matter about being the first, but, you know, to take a Super League game there, it's pretty special. It will be for every player, because, you know, regardless of being a local or not, like, Wembley is just Wembley. You can go anywhere in the world. You talk about Times Square, you talk about Wembley, like, that's what it is. So yeah, it's huge, and we want to make that the norm. So it's special, and I'll be there in 10 minutes. So
Oh, mate, honestly, you're giving me goosebumps just talking about it. And Jodie as well, from a player perspective, you're obviously going to be taken to the biggest stage that there possibly is that Mavericks have ever had as a franchise. What's that like for you? You're nervous? Are you excited?
I think a combination of the two. Very excited to be playing in, as Camilla said, such a monumental arena. And an arena that has so many associations with the world's best. And we've seen England netball. I went to watch it, the Nations Cup in January, and watched England netball players play there. And it's such an incredible venue, and it has a really special feeling to it. So to actually know that in the April, in a few weeks' time, I'll be stepping on the court with my team, just feels so special, and it's a real honour to be in this position, to be one of the first players with Saracens Mavericks to step on the court. And actually, for me, it's the start of something that I really hope that will become a norm in years to come. So next, a start of something very exciting.
Yeah, 100%. I honestly cannot wait to be there with you and watch you guys kill it out on court. And Tamsin, you must have played in Wembley Arena, right, with England back in the day?
Yeah, I have actually. I always say, and I'm not just saying this, it's my one of my favourite places to play in purely because of that, because it's so iconic. So to say, so even when we were coming through as England players, you know, you want to play in the big arena. So when we did the O2, when we did Wembley, you felt it was special. You felt it was something different. And to actually go to people, yeah, I've played at Wembley. It's very cool. Hence why I'm putting back on my trainers and giving it a crack, because I will do anything to go back to that time. I just need to add that Jodie's all happy about this. I think she's less nervous about playing than, did you see the poster where she's headlining and she looks like she's singing? Yeah. So I think she wasn't sure at the start whether she was going to have to perform. So I think she's safer playing netball than she is singing.
Yeah, I can assure people the sequin jacket will not be making an appearance. It will not.
Jodie, you can't let us down like that.
No. It's all about the netball. I don't want to take the attention away from the netball.
Oh, bless you. No, we're so excited. I might actually bring my sequin jacket just for you. I'm very conscious of time though, so just a final question, Cam, I'll come to you first. Like we mentioned earlier, bar sort of a couple of really obvious games that we kind of know what the result's going to be, last round kind of proved that there are certain things that aren't necessarily a given, and you know, like Tamsin said, any team can take any other team on their day. Does this unpredictability and kind of almost not knowing where you stand, does this excite you, scare you, concern you, thrill you? How does it make you feel in your head coach role?
That's a really good question. I think one thing that's been great this season and working with T is like the strategic mind and the tactical building towards stuff. And what I've learned is that how you go about those tactics give you more control over that. And I think that when you look at teams and how they're playing, and like T mentioned before, like how teams are going at other teams with what plan and so on and so forth, I think that, you know, there is a level of predictability, but there's also an aspect of having some of the best people on your side and knowing that, yes, there are slip ups in the game. When you look across, there's, you know, there's quality in the top four, you know, four or five teams. But in answer to, does it excite? Yes, it excites me, because I think that it does blow it open. But it also it's exciting from the point of view of really learning how you can tactically go at teams. And I think I'm going to say exciting because from our benefit anyway, in terms of the fan experience, again, going back to the points that have raised, I think from a spectator point of view, they're, you know, the gap needs to be closed for that to stay exciting and so on. But yeah, for me, it's an exciting place to be.
Yeah, 100%.
Can I add to that as well? I think Cam's definitely like strategically thinking about the netball, but think of the player. I think it's exciting. I think we want to be the best team. We want to make the top fours. We want to be competing for the title. So having closely contested games, for me and for the spectators, it is exciting. And I really wanted to get it in there from the player's perspective, just to say, like, bring it on. We want those first competitive games. And I watched recently, I'm showing off my love for Suncorp here, but I recently watched the Girls Cup, can't remember the name of it.
Team
and
Girls Cup.
Team Girls Cup. And I was so excited watching those games, and those thrilling games of where teams are running by one. And that's brilliant. That's what we train for. And that's where this league needs to get to. So yeah, very exciting that the games are now becoming so unpredictable and it's all to play for.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I'm very, very conscious of the time, so I think that's a beautiful note to leave it on. And I, for one, am very excited about this particular event and the season as a whole. I've got my club members going, they're going to make a whole day of it. We've got a group going out there, and I'll also be on the mic co-hosting the event. So come spend the day with me, if nothing else. So if you want to grab some tickets, do just head to saracens.com for all the information you need. Thank you, three lovely ladies, for joining me for this fascinating discussion. Good luck for the game this weekend, next weekend, and the rest of the season. And part two of this mini series will be dropping in a few weeks' time, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Thank you very much, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.